Welcome to Awakenings Movement Podcast. Awakenings Movement is a community where dreamers become believers and believers become doers.
The essence of a man is not lost in his death, but is eternally found in the legacy that he leaves behind. In many ways, the essence of a man is like a sunflower, in that if you look at a sunflower, it's beautiful on its own and you're sad when it dies, but when sunflowers die in the right setting and in the right context, when they die, thousands of seeds on the inside can foster new life. So the essence of a man is truly cancer-proof. It can never die. Can never be killed. The essence of a man is found in the legacy that that man leaves behind. Jesus left behind a magnificent legacy, and that legacy is partly revealed in John chapter 21. Turn there with me. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. If you don't have it, let's just read this on the board. Ready? Read. There are many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose the whole world would not have room for the books that would have been written. Yeah. Jesus' life was in many ways like the seeds inside of a sunflower seed. Just so much life that was had as a result of his life, death, and resurrection that we can't even contain them with human language in any kind of book or notation. So is it true of my friend Jed? Jed's mom called me on Monday, and she said, we've taken Jed to hospice, and he's decided that he wants to be at home, and can you come see him? And so in my mind, I'm like, okay, hospice. I'm a grown man, I have a college degree, I know what hospice is, but I couldn't connect Jed to hospice because we did this film and we were in a room full of people, many of you were there, and we applauded and we celebrated his courage and we all believed that he was going to live and that he would not what? And I believed that it was true, our belief was true, right? So I didn't get it until I walked into the room and I saw my friend who looked distinctly different. Skin and bones. But there were a couple of things, even in that moment, that were consistent with what I've seen throughout his entire experience with us as our neighbor who did his work across the hallway. And, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, when people die, you know, particularly people whose names are like Jed's, you know, people want to, you know, it's Jed Zen. People want to, like, turn their names into acronyms and, you know, do these little corny acronym eulogies about them using a letter per attribute to describe them. That's so corny, you know? Jed. The J is for joy. I walk into the room and I see skin and bones, but the biggest thing on this dude was his smile. The dude's smile took up like every square foot of the room that he was in. He smiled so big. And he said, Marlon. And I was like, yo. And I told myself before I got in, I'm not going to cry. I'm going to be not strong, but I'm going to show a joy, a gratitude. Those are the things that are going to be rehearsing in my mind, gratitude and joy. And so I walked in with this big smile, and he smiled back, and we just chuckled. Like, without words, we just started laughing. And it was so odd, because I was like, we're not supposed to be laughing right now. My friend is dying. But we just laughed for like 5 minutes, just chuckling, like saying no words. And the thing that resonated with me most was Jed's unique sense of joy, a joy that was contagious, so contagious that even though I was wanting to cry while I was in the room, I could not help but be compelled by his smile to laugh and do nothing else for 5 minutes. You know how long 5 minutes is? That's a whole song, you know what I'm saying? Like an Isley Brothers song, too. You know? This is Jed in the film, and this is him smiling after telling the story of him being in the hospital near death. Yet he still maintains this smile, this joy. Well, what is joy? Let's read this together. Ready? Read. A settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope. A settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope. Even though his life was leaving him by the minute, he was settled in a state of what? Contentment, confidence, and hope. You are living well right now. None of you are in, thank God, the position where you are nearer the end of your life in this one moment than Jed was in the moment when I saw him, yet he was still settled to be content, settled to have confidence, and settled to have hope. In fact, the first thing he said after we started laughing was, I'm going to make it. It appears 88 times in the Old Testament and 22 books, 57 times in the New Testament and 18 books. The Greek for the word joy is chara, cheerfulness, i.e. calm delight. So not a delight that is like a feigned delight, like a fake delight. Like, oh, I'm just so happy. Everything is just so perfect. No, it's this ease. It's this confidence in knowing that all will be well, that it is well, as the psalmist, as the hymn writer wrote. It is well with my what? And so it was. This man had joy. I double dog dare you to continue the legacy that he leaves behind, that if you plant the seed in your heart, it will grow new life. And that is non-negotiable joy. That is what? Non-negotiable joy. He was entrepreneurial. If you look at this scene in the movie, you see that there were sort of some scissors there, and there's like all of these instruments that were used to like cut leather. That's because Jed was not just a person who was a sculptor or a painter. He also made everything, because when he decided to become an artist, he refused to be a starving artist, and he was going to use all of his gifts to ultimately sustain his lifestyle. He even made this, wallet, the illest wallets. He made the dopest backpacks. His backpacks were in some of the coolest stores in the city of Houston, in the most beautiful boutique spaces in the city of Houston. He was entrepreneurial. That's the E. Entrepreneurial. Let's read this together. Ready? Read. A considerable initiative hat is not averse to risk. Yes, even when you make hats as an entrepreneur. I'm sorry, that's wrong. You got a hat design? Well then, buddy, you are continuing that legacy. A considerable initiative that is not averse to risk. Entrepreneurial, in the early 19th century, the French word entrepreneur comes from this word that was meant to describe a person who undertook a musical composition. So it was like a Michel, it was like a Piff, it was like a Jack, it was like a Dennis, it was like a Andrew, it was like an Anthony. I always want to call you guys Anthedrew. It was like the Anthedrew. Right? I mean, you start that group, baby. The Anthedrew, like the antidote. Anyway. It was a word to describe a person who was willing to put him or herself out on the limb to compose music for the sake of other people's celebration. Jason, all of you amazing artists. Walter Bo Whitley. It was a person who was willing to create beauty and to risk even looking stupid to do it, was the first understanding of an entrepreneur. So really, entrepreneurial does not mean a person who owns a business and has a DBA and has their own 501c or B corporation or A corporation. Being entrepreneurial simply means that you are willing to take the risk to create something beautiful for the sake of humanity. Let's talk about loss aversion. This is the person who is the antithesis of entrepreneurial. A loss aversion is, in economics or decision theory, the loss aversion refers to people's tendency to strongly prefer avoid losses to acquiring gains. Well, what does that look like? Loss aversion is, there was a study recently done, it was in 2003, and the study used monkeys and taught monkeys how to use commerce, how to use money. And it was trying to test whether or not this loss aversion theory was true. And among the most primitive state of what it means to be a being, these monkeys had loss aversion too, which means that what you gain on a scale of 1 to 10, okay, and everything in between, what you gain on a scale of 1 to 10 is not as great to the human mind, to the primitive state, as what you lose on a scale of 1 to 10. So in other words, if you give somebody, loss aversion implies that one who loses $100 will lose more satisfaction than another person will gain satisfaction from a $100 benefit. So that means that even if you get $10 one day and you lose $5 another day, it is equal to the primitive mind. If you gain $10 one month but lose $10 another month, the negative emotion of pain is a greater rate than the positive emotion of joy when you gained. This is the human condition. Are you with me?
Yes.
This is the human condition. This is the primitive way of living. This is your base way of understanding what it means to be a human being. But this is what the scripture says to elevate us from that primitive state, to take us into the purposeful state. Scripture says this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. Let's read it together. Ready? Read. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Jed's mom said, baby, boom, you ain't going to be no artist. You're Filipino. You're going to be a nurse. She felt this sense of loss aversion, that she would rather her son be unhappy, just in a moment. She would rather him be unhappy and lose his purpose rather than for him to be happy and to not generate a certain amount of income. But Jed did not bar that. Jed was entrepreneurial. He was willing to face the risk that it would take for him to live out his purpose and to move beyond it, because he fundamentally understood that what does it gain the whole world if you just gain everything but lose the soul of your true purpose? If you try to hang on to your life for loss aversion for your sake rather than giving your life for the sake of your divine purpose, you're going to lose it. What if Jed had been a banker? He would have died an unhappy banker. But he lived and his work continues to live on in people's homes. What if he had been a pharmacist? What if he had been an educator? What if he had been anything but what he was born to become? He was going to die anyway. But now he lives forever. Because he committed himself not to this sense of loss aversion that limits himself to his primitive state. He elevated himself in his understanding of what it meant to be a human being. And he said, I will live for my purpose even though I'm going to die. Give the socialization you can't keep to gain the social impact you can't lose. There's too much socialization determining what we do for a life. What your parents did for a life, what society says you should do for a life. Don't allow life and socialization, the social standards of what life should be in the United States or on the globe at this point in time, to determine the E in your Jed. Be entrepreneurial, pursue your dream, because you're going to die anyway. And you might as well die doing what you were born to do. Determination. This man's determined. His fiance, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful strawberry blonde. In fact, he and his fiance had their second date. Oh, scary. Right where you guys are. Except he was there and she was here at one of our screenings. It was their second date. And he said, Marlon, I've been to the folklore, exactly what Daniel said in the beginning. I've been to a folklore film screening before. He said, and I don't mean to offend you, but the folklore film screenings feel like art church to me. He said, and the film seemed like sermons to me. He said, and I decided, he put me to the side, he said, I decided to bring Angel here for our second date because I wanted to make sure that she was the kind of woman I want to continue to spend time with. He said, and if she didn't cry during one of these films, then we was going to break up. I was like, no, you're not. He looked at me, he's like. This before he was a subject in one of our films. Someone else invited him to come, even though he lived right across the hallway from her. They fell in love and they fell deep in love. And he was determined to love this woman until the very end. The D in Jed is determination. Read this with me. Ready? Read. Resoluteness, the process of establishing something. This was not uncommon for Jed because Jed used an X-Acto knife to do his artwork. And so he would take Playboy magazine because he said it had the most color. Okay. Different shades and hues and shapes. And he would just cut page after page into whatever magazine it was until the magazine almost looked like paint. It looked like a painting. And what would happen is that ultimately he would unearth this painting that he had no idea would be revealed from the first page because he was determined. And do you know how long it took Jed to meticulously take that X-Acto knife to cut into some of that artwork? He was exacting in his artwork as he was exacting even in his love for people. And I say this to you, if you have a love in your life, not just for a person, but for your purpose. Don't doubt your dreams to convince others you are a critical thinker. My friends, please don't do that. Don't be determined to do what you think God is telling you to do. And if you fail miserably, you'll learn from your failure. But it's better to go full out at what you believe you're supposed to do so that you can completely fail so that you, in hindsight, can't say, well, if I had really gone full out, then maybe it would have worked out. Go ahead and be determined, be exacting in what you believe God has called you to do. Be driven by the life you see for the world and not by how you look to it. Far too many times through socialization, we are more focused on how we look to others rather than what we see for others through our innovation. What your innovation is going to entrepreneurially provide, what crucial human need is going to be met, what beauty is going to be brought. Don't think about how you look cussing in your music. Focus more on what you see as to how it's going to perform its purpose to tell a specific story. Don't focus on how you look to the world. Focus on what you see for the world. What we gain being rational cannot compare to the energy we lose in the process. And I get it, man. You know, most of you are dreamers and you're told constantly that your dreams are just not actionable, they may say. You're doing too much, they may say. Like building an ark? That's doing too much. Leading a group of strangers across desert dunes in the name of a promised land? It's kind of ridiculous. Knowing that when you are crucified for a crime you did not commit, that you're going to be raised from the dead, now that's just completely irrational. Well, how about what it means to be a follower of Jesus and what it means to be a divine follower of God's purpose in your life is what it means to be irrational. What it means to be seen as a person who's ridiculous. What it means to be seen as a person who totally is not a critical thinker. Well, don't miss what is critical trying to be a critical thinker. Don't miss what life there is before you trying to use your life to please other people. Jesus, before he died on the cross, he said these three words. What are they? It is. Before Jed said, it is finished, told you about the love that they found in here. Jed's mom called me the day he died, and she said, Marlon, she said, you remember when you guys came to film Jed? I said, yeah. She said, you remember how he kept thundering, like in the middle of the deal, and then exactly when you guys had finished filming, it cleared up? She said, you remember that? I was like, yeah, I do remember that. And if you watch the film again, you'll hear the rumbling during his interview. She said, the same thing happened, but more happened. More happened to the story. I was like, well, what happened, Mama Fronda? She said, Jed called us all into the room and said, right now I cannot breathe. He said, and I think this is it. And you got to know that this was a day after I had been visiting with Jed, and I thanked Jed for talking to me. And he said, yeah, you should thank me, because the conversation that we've had is like you running 20 miles. That's just how exhausted he was. So imagine just a couple of days after that. He was completely exhausted of all life, like technically. They walk into the room. Mama Fronda walks in. He looks up. He nods. Daddy Fronda looks in. Looks up. He nods. His sister, she walks in. He looks up. He nods. But he has an exacting determination for his own love, for what he truly loves. And he looked up, and there was somebody missing. It was Angel. You see, Angel had gone home to take a shower and was coming right back. Did I tell you that the man said he could not breathe? He said, where's Angel? They said, oh, baby, she's not here. She went to go take a shower. Miss Mama Fronda was like, so just go ahead. She was like, baby, just go ahead. Go ahead and go. Go be with God. Jed turned to her and said, no. Call Angel. Tell her to come. I'll wait. Did I tell you he could not breathe? I said, Mama Fronda, how long did it take for Angel to get there? She said, about 5 to 7 minutes. I said, so you think that Jed like held his breath for 5 to 7 minutes? She said, Marlon, we got to that point five to seven minutes in. She said, it was more like maybe 17, 20 minutes. I said, you mean this man held his life to its bitter end until he saw the love of his life before he died? So she walks into the room, Mama Fronda says, and she's like running in. And she reaches, she said, Marlon, it was like a movie. She said, she reaches for Jed's hand. She said, and as soon as their hands touched, thunder roared. She said, Jed opened his eyes as big as he could. She said, then he closed his eyes for the last time. He had a determination to live into what he loved until the moment he died. You have to believe your visions from God are non-negotiable. Live into what you love, and you hold death at bay until your dream is fulfilled. Your purpose is fulfilled. My friends, Jed's body may be gone, but his legacy lives on. And that is a legacy of J for what?
Joy.
E for what?
Entrepreneurial.
And D for what?
Determination.
He'll never die if you continue that lineage. And can I share a secret with you? There are so many stories about Jed's greatness that cannot even be contained in this 20-minute talk. Just as there are so many great things that Jesus did that we don't even know about. Can you imagine how many people Jesus healed with his pinky just like this here? Just thousands of people. That boy just, achoo, healed. The disciples didn't even see that. What I'm telling you is that while you're waiting for someone to see and acknowledge the work that you're doing before you acknowledge its own value, it should be true that there are more things that you will do than can be written down in a book. Why? Because Jesus said, greater works will you do in my name than I will do. There's more work for us to do than there is work for people to acknowledge. There's more dedication for us to have than there is dedication for people to give you an award for. There is more entrepreneurial legacy for you to have than there are people who will write narratives about it. And there is more joy for you to have than there are people who will be around to see how joyful you are. You should be so committed to your legacy, so committed to the joy, so committed to the entrepreneurial spirit, so committed to your dedication that you recognize that the work that you're doing, most of it won't be even seen or celebrate it. But you own it with every waking moment of your life. Don't let, my friends, life be in vain. Live into the J. Live into the E. Live into the D.